This session was recorded at Journey Underground, a recovery ministry of Journey Christian Church in Fairbanks, Alaska.
First of all, I just want to thank the leadership of Journey Underground, you know, Stan and Glenna and all the others that allow me to come here and speak, you know, because it's always a blessing to me to be able to come and share what God's doing in my life to my family. And so I'd like to thank Stan and Glenna and you guys. You know, those of you that know me, you know, I don't consider myself a theologian or I'm not a theologian. But what I know about fighting, I know about warfare. So my message to you tonight is the spiritual lessons I've learned from a lifetime of fighting. You know, my brother liked to tell the story that I fought everybody in my neighborhood that was within my age range at least twice. And I don't know why he liked to tell that story, but he's always tell it at the most inconvenient times, you know. You know, you don't tell church people that your brother was a thug, you know. But he liked to share that story. You know, I started boxing when I was really young. And then I went into the infantry. I was in the infantry for 20 years. You know, I learned and I trained soldiers in conventional warfare. I trained in guerrilla warfare. You know, I taught combatives. I taught hand-to-hand combat. So the majority of my life, I've been either fighting, training to fight, or training others to fight. So I know a little bit about fighting. And the reason I'm sharing this with you is because I want you to understand my perspective on spiritual warfare and on warfare in general on this topic. You know, in all the years I was boxing, I only lost one fight. But I wish I could stand before you tonight and tell you that that was the same in spiritual warfare. I have a lot of blemishes on my record in the realm of spiritual warfare. And one thing I know about a fight, there's only one thing for certain in a fight, and that's your opponent's not going to cooperate with your plan. That's the only thing for certain in any fight. Your opponent's not going to cooperate because they want to win as well. Tonight, I want to talk to you in terms of spiritual warfare, but more so about the warrior spirit, the spirit of the warrior. You know, being a warrior, a spiritual warrior, is not just having the courage to fight, but knowing how to fight. And it's not just knowing how to fight, but having the courage to fight. You know, in the Christian realm, there's a lot of Christian conscientious objectors. Not just knowing how, but having the courage, and having the courage and the know-how. So courage, I looked it up. And it said, courage, the power or quality of dealing with or facing danger, fear, or pain. And the courage of one's conviction is defined as the confidence to act in accordance with one's beliefs. You know, when I read that, I thought about the people in our recovery program. I thought about all those that I know that are right dab in the middle of recovery. That's courage. That's courage. So I just want you guys with me right now. Everyone here that's in recovery, give them a round of applause. You know, so right now you should be clapping for yourself too. Because we all need to be in recovery because all of us have junk that we need to recover from. So what I want to talk to you tonight about is the nose of combat. You say we need to know who we are in Christ. You need to know yourself. You need to know who your enemy is. You need to know the situation and the circumstance. And you need to know your mission. You know, knowing the Father's love and knowing who we are in Christ is the center of spiritual warfare. You know, there's no room for spiritual cockiness. You know, this spiritual cockiness, it comes from lack of understanding about our relationship with our Father, and that all the battle in the spiritual realm is won for us. And oftentimes, that spiritual cockiness will get us into a dependency on technique and strategy rather than our relationship with Christ and the dependence on empowerment of the Holy Spirit. You know, biblical knowledge is always tied to obedience. It's always tied to application. It's not just mere intellect. It's always tied to application. To know the Father is to obey him. Jesus reminds us, apart from him, we can do nothing. There's nothing the enemy wants to do more than to block or disrupt your communication and your love relationship with Christ. You know, this is a tried and true tactic in war. Break off the lines of communication. Break off the lines of communication. That's a tried and true tactic of every armies and every war. It's always break off the lines of communication. You know, the devil can't kill what Christ gives life to, but he can make you believe you don't have it. He can make you believe that and question it and doubt it. You know, our authority and power in the spiritual realm flows from our knowledge of Christ, controlled by the power of the Holy Spirit. These truths put spiritual warfare into its proper context. You know, believers are called to apply this authority that Christ won for us by actively resisting all harmful thoughts and all the enemy attacks. You know, it says in our Bible that Christians are supposed to take every thought captive. And when I read that, I started thinking about, you know, I think in infantry terms. You know, those of you that know me, they can tell you, I think in infantry terms. So I thought, take every thought captive. I saw that this interrogation room, this POW, you know, that you got this thought, you're sitting it down, and you're like, where are you from? What are you here for? What are you doing? You're interrogating this thought. And like every good interrogation room, there's always that bright light. You got to interrogate it through the light. And the light is the truth from Christ. And so the light is going to expose the lie. And so this interrogation, you're comparing these thoughts to the light of the truth. So interrogate the thoughts like a POW. Take it captive. Find out, what's your purpose? Where do you come from? What are you trying to do to me? You know, one of the things, a danger with a fascination of the subject of spiritual warfare, it can arm immature Christians with just enough information to get their butt kicked. You know, it's like, I remember growing up when I was boxing, we had this guy on the boxing team. He came in, he learned two punches, and he wanted to take on the world. Grounded in God's truth, empowered by the Holy Spirit. Empowered by the Holy Spirit. And one thing, a spirit warrior knows himself or herself. A spirit warrior is a warrior that fights in the heavenly realm under the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we need to be fully aware that there's a war going on. That shouldn't be brand new news. There's a war going on. And there's forces right now that are working against you. You know, because war is about control. War is about territory. War is about allegiance. The enemy wants to control your marriages. He wants to control your kids. He wants to control your finances. He wants to control your health. He wants to control you. He wants to take control of your soul. There's a war going on right now for your soul. And the imposing forces are conducting strategic maneuvers against you right now. If you're not being attacked right now, you're going to be. Just wait. Just wait. I've heard it said that if you don't have a head-on collision with the devil every day, it's because you're moving in the same direction he is. You know, I'm almost positive that the enemy is going to use something I say here tonight to get you to dismiss everything I said, to get you to turn against me, to get you to turn inside your head, to break the lines of communication. You know, because the war in the battlefield of your mind, and the enemy wants you to believe that it's just you that have these ungodly thoughts. The enemy wants you to believe that it's just you that lose their temper. The enemy wants you to believe that it's just you that get fearful. The enemy wants you to believe that it's just you that get tempted. And the same thing, it's a tried and true tactic, divide and conquer. He wants to isolate you, make you pull inside of yourself, inside of this little shell. Spirit warriors know their strengths, and they don't make excuses for their weaknesses. They work on them. Fighting in the power of the Holy Spirit. Fighting in the power of the Holy Spirit is the only time you can win by surrendering. Amen. It's the only time you can win by surrendering, when you're fighting in the power of God's Holy Spirit. It's Christ within you. And we're invited to surrender daily, hourly, every moment. You know, the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life is evident. Others can see who's in your corner. They can see, and it comes out of also a humility. You know, humility would lead us to this knowledge that our hearts can fool us. You know, I like how David prayed. He said, "Search me, O God, and know my heart." He said, "See if there's any offensive way within me, and lead me in the way everlasting." You know, David's prayer, he was saying, "God, check me out. God, check me out. Prepare me for victory. Show me if there's any gaps or weaknesses in my defense." You know, because David understood that the enemy would try to exploit your weaknesses. The enemy's not going to attack a strong position. He's going to try to exploit your weaknesses. To you, the devil views you as the battlefield. The devil views you as the opposing force. The devil views you as the spoils of battle. He views you as the city to be taken, the territory to be won, the foe to be defeated. And so when we ask God to seek us, explore us, identify, once these things are found, we need to take personal responsibility for our own sin. And again, like David, we must declare that I have sinned and then repent. You know, the enemy want to use, you know, that your willingness, your transgression, your bitterness, your anger, your pride, your fear. And he want to use this against you. You know, it said that God can use all things for good, where the enemy can use all things for bad. But spirit warriors surround themselves with the right team. They surround themselves with people that's going to tell them the truth. You know, in boxing, I've never seen a fighter come back to their corner and get in an argument with their trainers. I've never seen that. You know, I can imagine the trainer telling him, "Hey, champ, every time you drop your left hand, he comes over top it with a right." And the guy said, "No, he's not. That's not true." I could see the trainer saying, "Well, your left eye is telling a different story." You know what? A fighter understands that the trainer is seeing the fight from a whole different perspective. And also, The trainer's reputation is involved in this fight too. So you need to surround yourself with some people that got some skin in the game with you, that they can't let you fall because you're a part of them. That's church. That's the Christian community. You know, at the rescue mission, that's our staff. You know, these dudes beat me up so that the world won't. You know, they got my back, and we got each other's back, because their reputation is my reputation. My reputation is their reputation. We need to surround ourselves with the right people. You know, people that's going to encourage us and not feed us a whole bunch of fluff. People that's going to help us to keep a correct perspective. Nothing's more important in a battle than perspective. When we're not thinking clearly, we become a target to the enemy, often victimized by our own emotions. You know, stinking thinking is a sure sign of battle fatigue. You know, many Christians today suffer from shell shock, battle fatigue, PTSD, whatever you want to call it. You know, sometimes their past trauma can distort their view of the battle, and the enemy will use that against them. So we need to continue to surround ourselves and have people that's going to continue to feed us the right perspective. Even healthy warriors get weary. Even healthy warriors get weary. So we all need a battle buddy, or two, or three. Somebody that's right there beside you. And when you get weak, they can pick you up. When you're full of yourself, they can tell you, get over yourself. When you're discouraged, they can sit there and they can listen, because they know that that's not who you are. That's just this moment. We all need a battle buddy. Somebody that's going to keep our head in the game. The right people to have our back. You know, and oftentimes when we suffer from PTSD, we view everything as a spiritual battle, when sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's just our poor decision. You know, self-pity often turns into self-indulgence. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself, and all of a sudden, there goes a gallon of ice cream. You know? Uh-oh, I'm giving away trade secrets. Or you start feeling sorry for yourself, and there's a case of beer. You start feeling sorry for yourself, and that porn website's back up on your computer again. Self-pity can often turn into self-indulgence. So self-pity is dangerous. It's dangerous. You know, but we all have pity parties. I'm not going to sit here and act like we're, you know, immune to it. You know, but when you have a pity party, don't send out invitations. You know, asking people to RSVP. Make sure you got the right people that's going to sit there and let you complain, let you gripe, let you get mad, and say, okay, you finished? All right, let's get back in the fight. They're not going to judge you from that moment, because they know who you are. But we all have them, but we can't live there. You know, perspective can determine a win or a loss in a fight. You know, I had a friend when I was in boxing, name was Juan Baker. And I can honestly say, my opinion, this guy couldn't fight. But you know how, like, rock, paper, scissors? He believed that if he was in good enough shape, he could beat anybody. Because endurance trumped skill, endurance trumped experience, endurance trumped strength in his mind. That was his whole view on the world. Endurance trumped everything. And This guy went all the way to the semifinals of the Nationals and only knew how to throw two punches, a 1-2. But he would wear dudes down. He made people quit because he wouldn't. You know, he was what my dad would call a hard head. You know, my dad would say, you know, he's a hard head. He gets something stuck in his mind and that's it. God could use some hard heads. God could use a couple hard heads. You know, get something stuck in your head and just stick to it. Because what God sticks in your head trumps anything the devil can throw at you. You know, and I know too, from a lifetime of fighting, sometimes the battle gets long. You know, I was once in a fight, and me and this guy was on the ground. No one was winning, but no one was losing. We were just locked up, clinched. And he was just squeezing me as hard as he could, and I was just squeezing him as hard as I could. And we were going nowhere. And then the thought hit me, just relax. And so I relaxed my grip a little bit, and he kept squeezing me. And I just relaxed and squeezed him a little bit. He was getting weaker. I was getting stronger. So sometimes you just need to hold on. Sometimes when a storm is upon you, you just need to stand. You just need to stand. You know, sometimes that's all you can do. Yes, Lord. Sometimes that's all you can do is just stand. You know, those of you that follow boxing, it's like Muhammad Ali's rope-a-dope. You know, he just leaned against the rope and let George Foreman weigh himself out. And then he took it to him. So sometime in the middle of a storm, just hold on. You know, and I like to have that vision that I'm just going to hold my ground and let God fight for me for a little while till I regain my strength. And it's like my older brother. You know, most of the fights that I got into in my neighborhood, my brother instigated. He would tell him, don't make me go get my little brother. And he would come in the house, he would grab me, and my mom was like, don't go out there fighting. So I'm just going to see what's going on. But you know, once I was in a fight, and this guy and my brother, I could hear him. He kept saying, Rodney's going to get mad in a minute. He said, he's going to get mad in a minute. Sometimes just hold on. I don't want to glorify. I found myself going somewhere that I shouldn't be going right now. But sometime in a fight, you just got to hold on. You got to hold on. Remember that. Like I just did. Sometimes you just got to hold on. You know, because greater is he is in you than he that is in the world. Know your enemy. Any good warrior knows his enemy. You know, back when I was boxing, they didn't have fight tapes. We didn't have fight tapes. You know, not like nowadays. You can go and record tapes on your fights and stuff on your phone. Back then, we didn't have that technology. So we used to go to the fights and watch the people that we knew were going to fight. We would just watch them and we study them. And we would learn their strengths and their weaknesses. And I would watch how they fought other fighters. And what kind of things they were susceptible to. What kind of style did this fighter have? Because I knew that boxers don't beat other boxers. Boxing styles beat other boxing styles. So I would watch to see what style could beat this guy. And when I got to Hawaii, it was a guy on the island named Nelson Dewella. I learned about this guy as soon as I got on the island. And as soon as everybody found out how much I weighed and what my weight class was, I found out about Nelson Dewella. I knew sooner or later that I was going to face this guy. So I began to study him. I began to show up at his fights and just take mental notes of him. And one of the things I noticed was he would show up at my fights too. And every chance I got him, I would just stare him down. I never talked to him. he would come out of the ring, and I would make sure he'd see me. And I would just look at him. And I would give him this look like, you know, this guy thought I hated him. But really, I didn't. I admired him. This dude was a sharp fighter. He was a technical fighter. He was really skilled. I mean, he was a hard-hitting dude. I watched. And then the state championships came around, and I knew I was going to meet him. And I had 3 weeks before the state championships. And so in those 3 weeks, I tried to run into him every chance I got. And then I started to talk to him. I would go to him and say, hey, let me introduce myself. I'm the blemish on your record. I said, hey, Nelson, countdown to a beatdown. How many days you got? And I would just talk trash to him the whole 3 weeks. Because in all my studying of him, I found he had a flaw. Nelson had a really bad temper. And I saw him lose his temper. And so I wanted to exploit that. And so during the tournament, we met in the semifinals. And when he walked in the ring and he looked at me, I had two thoughts. My first thought was, my plan worked. My second thought was, did I really want to make him that mad at me? But my plan worked. To tell you the truth, it wasn't even a hard fight. Because in the fight, Nelson became a bull, and I became his matador. And at the end of the fight, my hand was raised in victory. But tell you the truth, I didn't beat Nelson. He beat himself. He beat himself. The devil has fight tape on each one of you. He's watching you. He wants to exploit your weaknesses. He wants you to fight him in the flesh because you can't win. He wants you to doubt who your source of power comes from. He wants to exploit those things that you struggle with. Let me clarify something. Let me identify a weakness to you. If you keep getting hit with the same punch, it's a weakness. If you keep getting hit with the same punch, chalk it up as a weakness. You know, it's not a lucky punch 8 times. You know, if you keep getting hit with the same thing, it's a weakness. But we have fight tape on the devil too. The Bible is a fight tape on the devil. You can look to see how he fought other fighters. You can look to see how he used Delilah to fight Samson. You can look and see how David and Goliath, how that fight went. You can look to see how he tricked Moses into striking the stone. You can look to see how the enemy helped Peter to doubt and start focusing on the storm around him. Start reading the Bible like the devil's fight tape. You know, you can even get imaginative a little bit and start reading it round for round. You know, and I'm reading this, I thought about David. You know, here David, this up-and-coming fighter, going to fight this tried-and-true champion, Goliath. First round, David come out, circles Goliath. David looked confident. Goliath taunts him. Then boom, rock, temple, fight's over. And then you study David a little further later on in life. His fight style changed when he's fighting Saul. He was doing more to Sugar Ray Leonard. He was dancing around and running a little bit. You got fight tape on the devil. Study your fight tape. A good warrior find their weaknesses and then they take it to the gym. Study your fight tape. One of the things a spirit warrior does, he knows the situation and the circumstances around them. You know, when an infantry unit takes a city, the fight gets harder with every building they take. Every building this unit take, the enemy pull back and consolidate in the remaining buildings. And this continue to happen until you get to the last couple buildings. And that's going to be your hardest fight. Because the enemy's going to throw everything at you from those last couple buildings. All the way to throwing rocks if they have to. And that's the point where most Christians quit. When they almost have the city secure. You know, they start thinking, well, I've been doing all the right stuff and I'm still under attack. I'm getting attacked more. And I'm doing all the right things. Know the situation. The attack's getting fiercer because you almost have a breakthrough. You're on the verge of a breakthrough. That's why the attack's getting fiercer. But also, if Jesus talked about when you clean the house and sweep it clean, you got to fill it. You know, when I was reading that, any infantry person could tell you, when you take a building, it's called sweeping a building. I thought, huh, check it out. Jesus was an infantryman, you know. He talking about sweep the building. And so it's the same like when you go in a city. When you take a city, you got to leave security in that building. Or the enemy's going to double back and is going to take it. And I want to tell you something. In the spiritual realm, it's harder to secure ground than it is to take it. Oftentimes, you got to call for reinforcements. You focus on the fight, let others help you focus on securing the fight of the buildings that you take. Once again, you need to surround yourself with the right people. You know, when we clear the building, we need to replace it, those lies, with God's truth. You know, we need to replace those unhealthy coping mechanisms with some healthy coping mechanisms. We need to replace it. But also, you guys in Genesis know, it's like, you got to get to the root of it. You just can't stop doing it. You got to get to the root of it. And one of the things, when you secure the whole city, the fight's not over. Because the enemy's going to pull back to the wood line, and they're going to continue to harass you. But hold your ground, spirit warrior. Hold your ground. Surround yourself with others that's going to help you secure what you gain. You know, I was reading, when I was thinking about this, it was Abraham Lincoln, you know, the Emancipation Proclamation. You know, he declared the slaves to be free. But still, 2 years later, there was 250,000 slaves still in Texas. That's why I don't like Texas. There was 250,000 slaves that were still in Texas because they didn't get the word. Our mission, there's a lot of people that are still in bondage. We need to take the word to them. You know, you need to remember yourself when you were in bondage. You know, when the Titanic sank, most of the boats went away from there half empty because they were afraid. They were just happy they were saved. And there were so many people still in the water. You need to remember what it felt like to be in the water. And we need to turn around and get those that are still out there. You know, I think of the rescue mission. I think of Journey Underground. These are emancipation ministries. These ministries are to set the captives free, to proclaim the good news. We're almost there. You know, in the military, when you're in a fight, one of the things you always try to do is position yourself. And the best place to position yourself is the high ground. You know, the army, the high ground gives you so many advantages. You know, it can cover you, conceal you, and make the enemy have to fight uphill to you. In most conventional warfare, it's usually try to secure the high ground. You know, there's a lot of famous battles and famous hills in history. You know, you got Bunker Hill, you got San Juan Hill, you got Hamburger Hill. But listen up, spirit warriors. We fight from the high ground too. We fight from the ground that give us the most advantage. The most important hill that was ever taken was Calvary Hill. That's where we fight from. We fight from Calvary. That's the hill that we can hide behind. That's the hill that give us our advantage in this war. Calvary. You know, I think of Sam Houston and his gang yelling, "Remember the Alamo." Our battle cries, "Remember Calvary. Remember Calvary." You know, so there's no room for spiritual Rambos. We got to fight in the same spirit that the victory was won in, humility. Christ humbled himself and died on a cross. That's who won our victory for us. So fight in the power of the Holy Spirit. Know who you are in Christ. Surround yourself with the right people. There's a war going on. We need you in the battle. We need you to have the right perspective. We need to go back and get them. But run to the guns. Run to the guns. Praise God.